kids, you're dismissed. Thank you, Pastor, and your team. So, did y'all read Daniel 7? Yes, I like that. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good. So you're ahead of things a little bit. And I was telling First Service, and I'll tell you all that I was talking to some of my pastor friends this week, and they asked me, like, why in the world are you going into chapter 7? And I said, well, I really believe that that's where God has us, and I believe that he has a word for us that's very specific. And so I'm excited to go there, and I know many of you read it and said, my goodness, how are we going to get through it? We're going to get through it, and if you have questions past today, I'd love to talk with you more about chapter 7. So here we go. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 7, and we're going to start reading there. And I just pray that God would speak to your hearts today, and not only to your hearts, but to the next steps in your life and in your walk with him. And so once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Most of your scriptures say the visions of the four beasts, starting in verse 1. And remember, this is in chapter 7, but that's not chronological. And so this happened between chapters 4 and chapters 5 at the end and beginning, or the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, beginning of the reign of Belteshazzar. And so this is kind of between chapters 4 and chapter 5. And so that'll kind of help you fit in your minds what's happening here. And so starting in verse 1. In the first year of King Belteshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. Now I want you to really visualize these beasts. I know that's a little odd, and these are odd pictures of animals, but we need to get each piece of it. The first was like a lion and had wings like eagles. Then as I watched, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a human being, and a human mind was given to it. Another beast appeared, a second one that looked like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and it had 3 tusks in its mouth among its teeth, and was told, arise, devour many bodies. After this, as I watched, another appeared like a leopard. The beast had 4 wings of a bird on its back and 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the visions by night a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful. And I want you to hone in on this, church. This is where we're going to be most of our day today. It had great iron teeth and was devouring, breaking into pieces, and stamping what preceded it. And it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns when another horn appeared, a little one coming up among them to make room for it. 3 of the earlier horns were plucked up by the roots. There were eyes like human eyes in this horn and a mouth speaking arrogantly. Judgment before the ancient one. As I watched, thrones were set in place. And church, this is where it gets exciting. And an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were ablaze and burning with fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. Church, are you getting here who this is? The ancient one, the ancient of days, the one that you stand with, and there are tens and tens of thousands standing there, worshiping and honoring the ancient one. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Is this ringing a bell? Some of this, I hope. The books were opened, the records. Right now, church, there is a record being written about each and every one of us. I watched then because of the noise of the arrogant words that the horn was speaking. And as I watched, the beast was put to death. And this is the 4th beast that was put to death. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. Church, Revelation 12, are you getting this picture? Jesus is coming through the clouds. I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one, and it was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kinship. And today, church, we're partnered with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall not be destroyed. Mind you, the big beast was just destroyed, and here comes Jesus in this amazing picture, who has all dominion. And it said today, AFC, I want to partner with you. I want to be with you. I want to give you dominion. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. If you look at the translation, it is the Archangel Gabriel. Church, here's Gabriel sitting next to Daniel, and Daniel looks and says, Gabriel, explain this to me. My heart is troubled. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High, this is the key verse, church, but the holy ones of the Most High, but the people of AFC that are standing with Christ of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, of which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And concerning the 10 horns that were on its head, and concerning the other horn which came up, and to make room for which 3 of them fell out. The horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke arrogantly, and that seemed greater than the others. As I looked, this horn made war with the holy ones, and was prevailing over them until the ancient one came. Then judgment was given for the holy ones of the Most High, and the time arrived when the holy ones gained possession of the kingdom. And church, most of your translations will say saints. Saints translated as holy ones as saints. This is what he said concerning this beast. As for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth that shall be different from all the other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break into pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. This one shall be different from the former ones, Antichrist, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High. He shall wear out the holy ones of the Most High and shall attempt to change the sacred seasons and the law. Church, I want you to read that over in your minds again. And shall attempt to change the sacred seasons and the laws. Church, if you're going through something today and the enemy's working at you, he can keep attempting. But guess what? If you're part of the Most High, he can keep on working. Just put him behind you, because Jesus, the ancient one, coming through the clouds, given all authority and all dominion, says, holy ones, you've got it. You've got me. So they shall, and they shall be given into his power for a time, 2 times and a half time. Then the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and totally destroyed. The kingship and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people. Now you can put your name here, I hope. Shall be given to the people of the holy ones of the Most High. Their kingdom, our kingdom, shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Here the account ends. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly terrified me, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter in my mind. Today, God, as we close out Daniel, as we begin to understand what this means, today, Lord, let us understand you in a new way. God, let us enter into your presence. Let us realize the power and majesty and might that comes in your presence, that comes in serving you, the dominion that we have in the heavenly realms forever and ever. God, let it be revealed to us today, God. Let us rise up from that which imbounds us, Lord, and let it be free. And so today, Lord, let us be a people that are free and ready to engage and live and be with you. God, we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we pray today, Lord, that your will and your way would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so you all awake? Because I'm awake, so you need to be awake with me, okay? I may come down to the aisles, too, so just get ready. I'm just kidding. I was pretty worked up in first service, and I still am. Church, sometimes we avoid looking at these types of chapters and avoid looking at Revelation, but there is a lot that speaks to us today. We are in days that are evil, but yet that doesn't matter because we serve and have dominion with the King of Kings. And so today we can go out not discouraged because today we serve and are a part of the Most High God's kingdom. So let's look at kind of a basis to get our minds around this, our heads around this, so you can really get a base to step into. So Daniel 7, it occurs, as I said before, between chapters 4 and 5. Belteshazzar, an evil king who was basically killed pretty quickly, is rising to power. Daniel was about 85 years old. Many of your scriptures in the bottom will say it came during the days of silence. Not a bad silence, but a silence of King Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, right? And so he lived out the rest of his days letting Daniel worship his God, established that with Daniel. And so we kind of see these years of silence where God lets it be because Daniel's kind of in charge. And you also see that it occurred during a time of confusion. Anytime you have a change of leadership, there's what? Confusion. What are we in? If y'all aren't confused when you watch the news, then just stay that way because you're better off than I am. But it's confusing because it doesn't matter what day or what time you turn it on. It is confusing right now, and I think it'll be confusing for a while. Daniel also records chapter 7 in sequence. You say, well, wait a minute, it's not in sequence the way, but the way it's written is in the order in which he saw it. And so that's important to know. There's an order to this chapter. It also looks at God's role as judge. So what does that do for you today? It reminds you that all the way back in the Old Testament, he was telling good old religious church people to stop judging others. I will take care of judgment. Be faithful and live with me. It also looks at the contrast between peace and non-peace. Well, what do you mean? It's key that it came during a time of peace in Daniel's life. Meaning he was at peace with God. He was at peace with where he was. Though there was confusion in the world, Daniel was at peace because he knew who held his fate. He knew where his heart was. He knew that he knew that he knew who God was in his life. And so we see it come at a time for peace for Daniel. So let's talk about the sea. Now, this is going to be a building of a picture in your mind. And so I want you, as you go along here, to allow your mind to begin to really build this picture of what's happening here. I'm not a big, like, sea person. Like, I don't mind the beach to look at it. But I'm telling you, we watch Shark Week every year, and it reminds me of why I'm not on the beach. Because right about July, I think it would be nice to, like, maybe go on the water. And then August comes, and it's Shark Week, and then I'm reminded, and then I don't fall off the boat, right? And so I just stick with my plan of not going in the water. Now, for you, flesh-eating bacteria, if you like it and all that mess, go for it. So, but there's a lot of that. Anyway, but it's interesting that we have friends that go scuba diving a lot. And I don't really know why, because I don't want to be that close to those things. Because, you know, they don't have, you know, bedside manners or, like, house-trained. I don't feel like sharks are house-trained. Whether they're hungry or not, they're not house-trained. It's, they don't belong, and I don't belong in their house. Anyway, they go in there, and they always tell us about, well, when you get down there, it's so peaceful. I'm like, I don't care. To me, that's not peace, but to you, it's peace. But, you know, it is true. When you get into the ocean, there can be a mess up here. There can be a storm up here. You go 15 to 20 feet down, and you don't even know it's happening. Those fish down there are just functioning like they normally do, right? But I want you to think about this here and this kind of scene and what's happening. The confusion, okay, the commotion happens outside of the ocean, meaning the winds come from the four corners. You say, well, that has to be the Lord. No, here it translates as the enemy has some power and he is working up the winds. And then all of a sudden out of the seas erupts these creatures, these four creatures, beginning with this line. And so we see this confusion happening over the sea. Why is that significant? Well, it goes back to Genesis. And we know that in the beginning it speaks about the Spirit of God hovering over the deep, the dark. It goes back to that kind of translation. We also know that the sea here refers to great judgment, meaning the acts of the enemy came out of the sea, rose up in these forms, and then when the ancient one came, judgment came. We also know that chaos produces opportunity for the enemy. So think here for a second so that you get this picture of what's happening. It's chaos. Many of us are living in chaos, or we think we're living in chaos. And we go out and we get into chaos, and yet we know that God is not about chaos. What you're going to find here and where we're going to pull to the end is that God does not intend for us to stay, live, or reside in chaos. It's not the God we serve. What's happening here are these beasts, these nations, these kings are rising up, and you're seeing all this happen on the sea, and then the Ancient One comes and deals with the commotion of the deep. Are y'all good? Take a pause. Take it in. Let's go to the beast. Okay. There's a lot of places we can go here with the beast. There are some medals that are used in each of the beasts that each signify something. That's for your further reading. We're not going to get into that today. We are going to look at each of these beasts, what they mean, and how they relate to which nations. So you look at the line. Now remember, it goes in strongest to not so strong to not so strong, and then all of a sudden to the most strong. So an odd order, right? It goes in descending order, then flips it and puts the strongest one at the end. So the strongest one is the lion. Now here's another place I don't really like to go, and that is I'm not a big one. When I was in Africa and they said, let's go on a safari thing, I said, no, you know, they're out there, I'm here, I'll see them at the zoo. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big risk taker. I just don't feel the need to take risk anymore. When I was a kid, that was different, but I got some sense, and I'm just not into it. And lions, you know, they are kind of at the top of the kids, the food chain, right? Okay. And so we see this first beast is a combination of a lion and an eagle. Now, there's a lot more here, and if you know anything about nations, they tend to associate themselves with a type of animal or a bird, and that's a whole other story here, but we're just going to stick with the facts. And the fact is, it's this eagle and lion, kind of the top of the food chain, meaning the eagle's kind of the top of the food chain in the air, and the lion is at the top of the food chain on the earth. You put those two together, and you see this king of beasts and this king of birds put together. It is referenced and believed to be King Nebuchadnezzar. We also believe it to be that way because the wings were plucked, right? Do you remember this? And was taken away. So the power was taken away, meaning this beast was lifted up and dropped on 2 feet and given a head and a mind of a person. And for a period of time was given peace. And so we see here this relates to King Nebuchadnezzar, his experience in the wilderness, the 7 times over, which means purity, and then the years of peace after that, meaning that beast stood in the way in which it was to give freedom for God's people. The second beast, and I watched some videos about bears just because I'm fascinated by them, and we were on vacation in the woods and we saw one, and like people are getting out and like taking pictures, and I'm in the van and said, roll the window down, snap that shot, and let's move along because I don't need to encounter wildlife like that. So anyway, bears are kind of next in line. They are not swift like the lion. They're not. They're not as strong. They don't have the knowledge, the will, the way. They're a little bit different. They're a little bit clumsier, awkward when compared to a lion. Here we know that this relates to the Medo-Persian Empire. We also know in the scene here that there's this dramatic scene of the one arm is lifted up and there's 3 ribs, which represents the Persian side of the army, which was the stronger side of the army that devoured millions of people. In fact, it took millions of people for their empire to finally rise to the power that it was. And that one side spoke to Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. And then if you look further down, they end up rising up over the Medo part of it and become in power. But here we see this devouring of flesh. And church, you should start to think about the enemy and what he does to us. He devours our flesh. In fact, God did not intend us to age the way we do. There's a lot of historical theology here that we can begin to see developing in this picture. That's why God is preparing for those that are in his kingdom a new what? A new body. Here we see the devouring of flesh. Then we see this third beast. It's like a leopard, swift. It has four wings with four heads. The four heads indicate eyes at all parts of the earth, because at that time they often referred to the earth as having four corners. And we know that Alexander the Great rose up and conquered the four corners of the world and was quick and swift, maybe not thorough. It was most likely representing this conquest under Alexander the Great, and the four heads represented the four corners. It also reminds us of something else about the enemy, his swiftness. Have you ever gotten to a place where, like, things are just building in your life? You don't even realize that it's happening, but it's happening. And before you know it, you're so far deep in it, and you're so far away from God's, and you're like, how did that happen? Because the enemy is swift. And when a door opens, the enemy moves. That's why the Lord says for us to remain, the saints, the holy ones, in his presence. All right, so the fourth beast, and we're getting somewhere with this, so stay with me. The fourth beast, as Daniel said, it troubled, it made him tremble. It was a terrible, terrible sight. This beast was worse than all the rest. In fact, it broke into pieces the other three, destroyed the other three. There were 10 horns coming out of it. If you know anything about 10, it's significant because a normal animal would be given 2 horns, right? And so you take 2, but you do 5 and 5, so 5 times stronger than anything else in existence. Meaning this kingdom was going to be 5 times stronger than any other kingdom. Then emerging out of one was a little horn. And I like to just say this because I'm not afraid of the enemy, because I believe that what's inside of me is greater than what's outside of me. But that little horn represents the Antichrist, the destroyed three to get to where the Antichrist was. And guess what? It's a little horn because it does not stand in any type of way against our God, because our God, the Ancient One, comes down and deals swiftly. Just as the enemy swiftly comes into us, God comes in and swiftly deals and produces judgment on these nations. And church, we may get worn out, but I'm telling you right now that if we stand with the Ancient One, we are going to stand strong in the end forever and ever and ever. And so this has no power. We should not be afraid. We should fear being away from God before we ever fear this tiny little horn called the Antichrist. Daniel, as the translation speaks, actually says it's hideous. And you know what? When you're sinning, you look hideous. When I'm sinning, I look hideous. Come on, let's just be real. When you see in your spouse sins start to, and an attitude start to, when you start seeing longtime Christians saying, I can't believe you didn't. Come on now, it's ugly. This is terrifying. And that which is outside of Christ should be and is terrifying to us as believers. You got the fourth beast? You can say yes. Even if you don't, I'm just, you can go back and study, right? All right, so let's talk about the Ancient of Days. And this is where the whole thing changes. The Ancient of Days comes. Now you say, well, why is this so significant? Church, think about ancient. When you think about something that's ancient, what do you think of? Sometimes you think of yourself, right? Is that okay? I told my wife yesterday I could hardly function. I said, I feel ancient. And she was like, oh, get over it. So anyway, I'm over it. But I felt tired yesterday, didn't I? I was like in a funny funk. Not in a funk, but just really tired. But this Ancient of Days, and I want you to really get this, because that word ancient right away establishes something very, very significant. It right away says, before any of this, before these four little kingdoms came along, the Ancient of Days was there. Meaning the Ancient of Days that we're partnered with, the Ancient of Days where we receive our power, the Ancient of Days that lets us go on forever and ever and ever. Here comes the Ancient of Days. Thrones were cast down before him. He sat on the throne that was set apart from the rest. Church, we as Christians are set apart from everyone else. His garments were white as snow, signifying purity, whose hair was like pure wool, The throne had wheels that were ablaze with fire and were streaking along. Kind of a cool picture. And then the books, the records, were opened up before him. The fourth beast was slain and given into the fiery flames. You say, why is this significant? Well, this all speaks to Revelation. Here we see the correlation between the two. We see the end game as the fiery, as the lake of fire. Here, you get this? This is beginning to teach us and help us to understand that that which is opposite of Christ has one fate. In Daniel, it was saying it is going to be fiery flames for an eternity. In Revelation, it tells us that it is going to be the lake of fire. Church, that which is against Christ does not have a fate except to be destroyed over and over and over again. Which means if we're on the opposite side, we experience life over and over and over again. The other beast kingdoms were removed, but they were spared. Okay, so we see Jesus here. Daniel speaks and says the Son of Man, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. And here we see this it kind of separated in three things. So judgment is passed on to Jesus. The judgment of believers for their works. When we say the books were opened, the way it works, it's not just names, but the record of your life. Church, I feel stronger now than ever. I run my mouth now less than ever. Why? Because things are being written down that I say, that I do, that one day is going to be opened up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It parallels this. We also know the judgment of Jews during the Great Tribulation, Daniel 12, 1. Jesus, the Son of Man, is going to be responsible for. The judgment of the nations, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, will be the responsibility of Jesus, the Son of Man, again. The judgment of the nations occurs after Christ's return. Just some facts. It's believed to happen in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The purpose of Jesus' judgment is what? It's to separate, let's just be real, to separate the wheat from the tares. There are tares here today whose hearts are a mess and have the desire to tear the church down. Be careful, because one day the Lord's going to come and immediately the sheep are going to be separated from the tares and everybody's going to know what's in your heart. Here it's to separate the sheep and goat nations. The people of the sheep nations will have the opportunity to step into the stone kingdom. This was fascinating to me, and as I studied it from multiple different places, and they all spoke to the way this is translated and what he's saying as the stone kingdom. When I think of stone kingdom, what do you think of? If we built this whole church out of stone, guess what? It'd be pretty hard for a hurricane, a tornado. I mean, it's going to have some work, right? Do y'all have a stone house? Probably not, right? Think about stone too. When you look at the translation, looking at the cornerstone. Well, what's the translation of cornerstone? Well, again, it's the Son of Man. And so here we're talking about this stone kingdom, this kingdom that never changes, this Jesus who's the cornerstone of who we are, everything we need. He is going to come and serve judgment on what's considered to be the goat nations. That and those, so that people that don't serve God and those nations that do not serve God. And church, I'm not, and I've been very careful to say anything political, but you've got to be thinking right now, where are the Christians in our nation? Right now, we're better known. Think about it. We're better known for the couple of churches that went to worship during the coronavirus and were served tickets than we are for the churches that stood and passed out the essentials, than we are for the churches that gathered in prayer, than we are for the churches that, let's just be real, we're in a place where God is saying, you have dominion. You have power. You are my saints. You are my people. I need you to rise up. Here, he says these words, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the thrones of evil power. The dragon, Satan, with all the principalities of the air, will be thrown down before the ancient one. And church, my prayer today is that none of us would be thrown down in that way, but that we would be lifted up with Jesus on that day. John 5:22 says this, "The Ancient of Days is the Son of Man, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." We come under the Son. He went to the cross on your behalf. Jesus, the Son of Man, was given what? A couple of things, and it's obviously pointed out here. He was given dominion. I've preached on dominion, what it means to have dominion. His dominion is everlasting, which means it outlasts every kingdom. Yes, it outlasts the United States. Yes, it outlasts. We can go down the list. It's why we need to be more associated with the King of Kings than we do the political parties that we're connected to. It's why our lives should be evidenced by Jesus, not by parties. The kingdom of God will not be destroyed. Now, I love in this scripture, because we have to admit, sometimes living out, and this is where I kind of feel a little good, sometimes we can be a little wore out. Because if we're fighting the good fight that God is calling us to, Daniel says that sometimes we will be wore out when the enemy is at us. But guess what? We will not be destroyed. Just because we're wore out doesn't mean we don't get up the next day and say, I'm going to do it again. For those of you that are veterans that really served in some wars, you got up the next day and did what? You served again, and half the time you woke up in the middle of the night and you served then. And some of you teachers that are wore out, I don't blame you. And tomorrow you've got to rise up, and students are going to be there, and it'll be different than ever. But guess what? That God that we serve, that we glorify, that we honor today will go with you tomorrow as you serve the future of our nation. Church, his kingdom will not be destroyed. Daniel left all of this knowing that as we stand with Christ, we will live forever. Okay. So I feel really worked up today, so I had to bring music into the picture. I want you to think about this for a second here. There's this word rested, W-R-E-S-T-E-D, in the actual translation. And what it said was that their power would be taken. Well, how is their power taken? Well, it's taken when we speak the name of Jesus. It's taken when the enemy comes in and you say, you know what, I serve Jesus. You know what, I'm not going to receive this, I serve Jesus. And see, what happens is, as we live in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we rest other people, which means we say, you know what, you don't have dominion. You know what, the words that you're speaking that are evil don't have dominion here. We rise up and say, you mean something. We bring value because the dominion of God is in us. And when we go out and speak the name of Jesus, we rest from the enemy, which means we take the power of the enemy away. And guess what? The scene here, there are four great kingdoms. Four great kingdoms. And guess what? Before God, they're not great. Before the Ancient One, they're not great. You're in battles today. And guess what? When it comes before the Ancient of Days, it's nothing. Why? Because you are his. Think about this. You've got this scene, and you've got this beast. And so many people would say, okay, this is the Roman Empire, the fourth, and then 10 more empires come out, and each horn represents an empire. Three of them were taken away so the other one could rise up. The little horn, the Antichrist, and he's going to wear the Christians out. I don't know why we call ourselves Christians, because the word says we're saints. We're the holy ones. We're his people, where he has dominion. The little horn came, and guess what? When all was said and done, guess where the little horn ends up? After 40-some months, not very long. He ain't going to have much time here. God's only going to tolerate it for so long. And guess who will have dominion after that? You. If you stand with Christ, guess who's going to have dominion? You. If you stand with Christ, guess who's going to have power? You. And in the end, it says, forever and ever and ever. But church, you know what it takes is we've got to speak the name of Jesus over and over and over again. Sometimes we have to speak it in our own hearts because the enemy starts to etch in, and we've got to say, no, Jesus has got me. Let's keep rolling. No, I'm not done yet. Yeah, you're ready to be done. Let's look at the nature of this. The nature of this is so clear. I know for those that read and sent me messages that this is not clear at all, it's going to be clear. The nature of all this, the tradition of God, he has good traditions that he keeps, and that is he records us. You cannot look through Scripture and not look at a moment where he hadn't looked over somebody. I love using Mary, because there's actually a huge explanation in the Word about how Mary, how God was looking and gazing and watching Mary. Come on now, church, he ain't just going to let anybody. I mean, think about what was happening. He watched her. He looked at her. He gazed at her. He interacted with her. He was watching her because guess what? She was about to bear the son that we're talking about, the Ancient of Days, in her womb. But he doesn't just do that for Mary. He didn't just do that for Joe, for Deb, for Ashley, for he's watching us all. And it's very historical and very biblical that there are record books. This chapter reveals God's swiftness when dealing with evil. In fact, the scripture just plainly says it, that he comes like a consuming fire. Step out of God's will, and that same consuming power, but it's going to be for an opposite kingdom, is going to come and destroy you. We also see him become a being that is worshipped. So there's some key things here. So Daniel obviously was a little confused, right? I mean, if you received that in a vision, you would be a little confused. Can you just say yes? Yes, it's confusing. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And I want you to see here the messages, the key things that Gabriel brings out in this time. The first is the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom of God forever. In fact, over and over again, and here three times it says, the saints will receive, the saints will receive, the saints will receive. See, many of us live Christianity like he's just taken from me. He wants more from me. He's asking me for, I can't believe he's doing it again. And yet the scripture doesn't tell us that. The scripture says that as you live with him, you'll receive from him. We also see here the term saints. Quadism is an adjective that translates as holy ones. You are his holy ones. We are his holy ones together for his purposes. It also comes from the Hebrew, which means to set something apart for divine purposes. We are not just his saints so that we can do whatever we want to do. We get confused in church because we think that we get confused. So how do we get confused? Well, we think that it's free grace. It is. We can't save ourselves. Jesus has done that. And if you sit here today and you aren't saved, then you've got steps to make to receiving Jesus into your heart and confessing your sins and believing in him. That's the first step. And that is a free step that we obviously, if you look at the Old Testament, could not fulfill. And yet here we see that after that, our great God, our great deliverer, our great sustainer, Savior, comes and begins to call us and set us apart for his purposes. And for each of us, that looks different. It's not about doing the typical things in the church that we say you should do if you're a believer, preach, teach, and sing. There's a lot more than just preach, teach, and sing. You may not have any of those talents, and that's okay. It's more about a heart that walks as it goes. In fact, that's what Jesus said, as you go. It also looks at the repetition, which is key here. This idea of saints is repeated three times, and it relates to the Trinity, the third day that Jesus rose again. And here in the Hebrew tradition, it means permanence, which means that you as his people and as you stand as his saints, you will forever, 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 evermore be with him. Church, that's exciting. So you get to go out today and say, you know what? No matter what, I am forever, ever, ever with him. Okay. So yes, now we're getting close. So I want to talk to you for a second, and I want you to think about this picture as this music plays in the background. There's chaos where the enemy is. These four beasts created chaos. They devoured flesh. They were swift about getting people. They were powerful. Land, air, they had power. Then the Ancient of Days comes in and ends the confusion and ends the stuff and the chaos and the drama. And church today, what we need to remember in this, and I'm sorry, I close this because I want to read. Oh, darn, I close my, and it takes forever. I love music playing behind me. Sorry. That's the enemy. Okay, I want to read this to you as we close. As he translated this for him, as Gabriel said, "He shall speak words against the Most High, shall wear out the holy ones of the Most High, and shall attempt to change the sacred seasons." Church, the enemy is out attempting to change that which is not of God. And church, today we need to recognize that as we stand with God, we are with him in a powerful way. We become the saints. We become the people that go forth. We serve the great and mighty God. And it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. It does not change that he is ours and we are his. "And they shall be given into his power for a time, two times, and a half time. Then the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and totally destroyed. The kingship and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the holy ones of the Most High." Church, put your name there. "And shall be given to Joe, the saint of the Most High, shall be given to Tresina as a saint of the Most High." Church, today, I'm sorry. We have got to stop living in this walk around as a beat up Christian. We are not beat up. The scripture tells us all the way in Daniel that we aren't beat up, that we are saints when we're living with him. And it's okay to say, you know what? Oh, you guys think you're holy people. We are. You know why? Because he's in me, not because of me, not because I'm great. And without him, I wouldn't be anything. And so today, I'm going to honor him. When people say, "I can't believe you have that view," well, you know what? We serve a good and gracious God who's come and saved us and redeemed us and is continuing to work in and amongst us. And see, church, when we're real like that, and we say, "It's not about me, it's about him." Daniel never said it was about Daniel. You never heard Daniel say that. In fact, he didn't want to even know about Daniel here. He wanted to know, what did it mean? What did it mean to be a saint? Church, man, we serve a great and amazing God. And if you want to understand the future and you want to understand how it's going to play out, there is going to be an Antichrist. It says it here. Jesus said it in the end, says it. And it's going to come up against us and it's going to wear us out. And you can believe whatever you want to believe, but Israel's a nation. And so Revelation is on track and it's moving. And you can say, "Pastor, well, you've lost it." I have. But if we start living like tomorrow is the last day, maybe his kingdom would start thriving. If we started living in the urgency that the disciples lived in, maybe we would. If we start living in the urgency that Daniel lived in, maybe we'll start seeing the kingdom come here on earth. But see, what does that mean? It means that we let the great I am reside in a way that is permanent within us. And so, church, today, shall be given to the people of the holy ones of the Most High. Their kingdom, put your name there, their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey them. Well, what do you mean? Man, there's a lot right there. In fact, we could spend a whole message on that, because the scripture tells us over and over again that the wicked can serve the church. The wicked's money can serve the church. This is where you're going to start thinking I'm crazy. I'm not. Because you know what? When the Ancient of Days is in our hearts, it's limitless. And so, church, let's go out and stop living with limits and stop living in the realm that is not of God. God, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples that we find here in this chapter. God, it does honestly make me a little afraid. I am terrified. But God, I'm terrified to be on the opposite side. I'm terrified not to be connected to you. God, I'm terrified to be the person that separates. and causes division and is the one that causes others to stumble. And so today, Lord, if we don't get anything out of this, let us get out of this that three times the angel Gabriel tells us that we as the saints have dominion because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, let us go about our days undefeated, because we're not defeated. Let us go about our days fervently serving you. And God, today, let us go about our days, yes, with the end times on our mind. Lord, we've got to live in that. We've got to be reminded of that, because hopefully that will give us an increased sense of urgency to serve you with all that we have. And God, as those things come our way that wear us down, Lord, we're reminded today that we are not fully worn down, because our strength and power comes from you. And so today, as we go out with your strength and power, with your will and ways, all wrapped up in our hearts, ready to be given, passed, and distributed away. And so today, we trust you, we love you, and we pray for your strength in the midst of those things that wear us down. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for being a part of worship today.